Well, I'm afraid I'm going to wrap up my series on fear. Did y'all pick that up? I was reading the AC the Journal on Biblical Journal of Biblical Counseling. It's a quarterly journal that comes out, and I read every article that they ever wrote about fear or anxiety in preparation for this series, and of course it's such a big deal. There was a lot written. One of the things that one of the authors said was, think about all the times that you say you're afraid. Well, I'm afraid that, that might happen, or I'm afraid this might happen, or I'm afraid that might happen. It's so much a part of our kind of normal conversation that we really don't think about it. I mean, it's just like, well, I'd go over there, but I'm afraid, and it's like, it's just, we speak a lot of fear, let me say it that way. So pay attention to that if you want to, just to hear how much that you say it in your normal conversation. And then ask yourself, am I really afraid of that? And yeah, not so much. Well, then, sometimes it's helpful just not to talk about fear so much. So in one of the journal articles that I read late, after I'd already started the series, he had this list that I've given you tonight. I thought it was great. What I really thought was great about it was that I mean, not to pat myself on the back or anything, but I had covered most of it already. So it was as if he was as smart as me. No, not really. I hate lists. Let me say something. I hate lists. I think that they're most of the time bad, and I'll tell you why. They kind of pigeonhole you, and they begin to make you and life isn't pigeonholed. It's very nuanced, isn't it? I mean, it's just like it's different for everybody. It's weird, and it comes at me in a different way than it comes at you. And so I hate like one, two, threes. But he made a case that I thought was helpful, and in my last time together, I'm going to do it, and let me explain it to you. So my buddy Audie is a Delta pilot, and I was a nuclear power plant guy. And let me tell you something we had to learn to run, that he has to learn to run his, and I had to learn to run mine. And it's called emergency procedures. Emergency procedures had to be memorized and so baked into the cake of who that you were. You didn't have to pull out a book for it. You didn't have to do anything. If X went wrong and you went into an emergency procedure, there were certain things that would go wrong. And when they went wrong, you went into an emergency procedure. And the emergency procedure was literally a part of who you are after a while. Audie doesn't have to think about it. If certain things happen to the airplane, like an engine goes out, he doesn't, it literally, it's so automatic to him. He just does this and does that and does this and does that, and it is baked into the cake of who he is. He doesn't have to pull a book out. Now, of course, in the nuclear business, you'd pull the book out anyways, but all the actions were already being taken. Does that make sense? Sometimes it's helpful to have an emergency procedure. Sometimes it's helpful to have an emergency procedure, especially if you're a particularly fearful person or a particularly anxious person. Sometimes it's just helpful to have a checklist, if you will, that's in your heart and in your mind that you can go through and that can just help you. And they can just help you work through it. Now, I actually just gave you these not so that you would necessarily follow along, because I'm going to have them up on the board behind you. And so, but so that you would have them, thank you, Bubba, just in case you want to, but so that you could have them later and take them home with you. My expectations, you'll have them all memorized. Next week, we'll do a small test, and we'll see where it goes from there. But we've talked about most of all of this. My final thing, I wanted to particularly talk about two things, and so I'll slow down when I get to those two things and talk about them. They were things that you're already familiar with on different teaching that I've done, and so I'm not going to spend a ton of time. I'm just going to orient it to fear and show you how it works in the fear world. The first one is the simplest one. Most of these verses you're going to recognize. I've already taught about them as we've gone through the series. And by the way, if you haven't gone all the way through that series, it's www.crosswind.ms, and just go into our current things. We're also building a counseling in our counseling page. We're building a series that will, like this anxiety series will be on there, and then a depression series will be on there, et cetera, et cetera, so that people can go into our counseling page and just find help there from the scriptures. And so I will say this, too, as a way of summary, that sometimes it is very difficult to apply. I have intentionally used passages that are very familiar to everyone. I've intentionally used them because there's not better passages to deal with anxiety. That's why they're familiar to everyone. But here's another thing, though, is that sometimes we haven't learned how to act that passage out in real time. Like, we kind of know the passage, and you might say, well, you know, the Lord, you know, his eyes on the sparrow, so, you know, I'm not supposed to be afraid. But we don't know how to act that out in real time. And so I intentionally used passages that were familiar, and am going to do that when we're talking about depression in our next series. And so, by the way, Cody, all happy music during the depression series, because I'm going to bum everybody out real bad. Exactly. They need to be lifted. Let me promise you, we're going down in a hole. So the first one is this: name the fear. Name the fear, right? Remember, when I am afraid, I will trust in you, in God. I will praise his word. In God, I have put my trust. I will not fear. What can flesh do to me? But what is the point? When I am afraid, and I am afraid, right? So when I am afraid, name the fear. In other words, face the fear. And remember what we talked about is that usually the fear that you have is not actually the fear, the root fear. So I'm afraid of flying. No, you're actually afraid of dying. Does that make sense? Right? I'm not really afraid of flying or afraid of heights. I'm afraid of hitting the ground, right? Which will be my death, right? So when you hear a common fear, like, for instance, one of the number one fears in the whole wide world is the fear of public speaking. Only me and Cody don't have it. And so, but it's fear of public speaking. But that's not the fear. What's the fear? That's right. The fear is rejection, that I'm going to say something and be exposed and people aren't going to like me and they're going to reject me when they hear what I say because it may sound stupid. So the actual fear is the fear of rejection. So the thing is name the fear. Lord, I am afraid, and I am afraid of dying. I got on the plane and I'm actually anxious and worried about the plane falling, but I know what my problem is. I actually don't want it to crash and me to die, and I'm afraid, right? So name the fear, what I am afraid of, and remember, try to work it back to what is the base fear. And I promise you that, let me make it simple for you. There's what you can look up, the big five fears. Google that, right? Those are the primal fears, right? Fear of dying. But here's another one. I was wired for connection. All relationship fears are, in some way, I'm afraid that I won't be loved or won't be valued or won't be accepted. So all relationship fears are like agoraphobia or whatever, all those fears. I'm going to stay in, I'm afraid to go out of my room. Why? If I go out of my room, I'm going to contact people. What's going to happen then? They're going to reject me. They're not safe. You know, the world's not safe, that kind of thing, right? So relationship fears are based in the fear of rejection. Does that make sense? And so just look at these primary fears, and all of the little sub-fears are usually based in the primary fears. And then the next one is, thou will keep him, this was last week, thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in thee, right? So, in other words, name the fear, but in naming the fear, name it to the Lord. When I am afraid, I will where? Run to my refuge. Okay? So this is what I'm talking about. And then, of course, I'm going to be real specific about that in a second. So name the fear. Okay. Then the second thing is reverse the fear. That is, a fear is always a function of a want or a desire. In other words, if I am afraid, okay, if I have a fear of speaking in public, what I'm actually afraid of is being rejected, right? And so what do I desire? To be accepted, exactly. So what I desire is to be accepted, what I'm afraid of is being rejected, right? What I desire is to be loved, what I'm afraid of is to be talked to the hand. And so what I'm a desire, or maybe it is that sometimes is that if you're have to give a big fancy presentation, and you have to be the smart guy, well, I'm afraid that they're going to think I'm the dumb guy, you know what I mean, or something like that. But still, ultimately, it's a fear of rejection, right? And so, and so, name the fear, and then reverse the fear, and that is find out what you desired. Okay, I'm afraid of death. I want to live, right? And then even if you can nuance that sometimes, like, why? You know what I mean? Well, I mean, you know, because I want to hang out with my kids or see my grandbabies grow up or something. You know, I mean, whatever it is, it doesn't matter. The Lord's our Father. You know, it's like ain't none of this stuff that he hasn't heard. You can bet on that. So name the fear, reverse the fear, find the wants and desires. And here's why. Okay, the next verse is this. And this is where I wanted to slow down a little bit because I haven't talked about this directly, even though you know this verse very well. Okay, well, first of all, in James 4:1, it says, what causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? And this is interpersonal fights, but I'm telling you that you could easily say that this verse has to do, what is it that causes tension within me? Not between me and Hank, but inside Bobby. Well, what is it? Is it not this, that your wants or desires or passions are at war within you? Right? So, in other words, I'm afraid that I'll be rejected. So I'm not willing to risk the public speaking assignment, if you will. Okay, so here's the second verse, and this is where I wanted to slow down, is this verse right here, because this is a Sorry, I saw that other the little chingapapa. Okay. So here's the other one. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. That is, we're not talking about the natural mind. What is the natural mind? The natural mind is naturally afraid of being rejected. Why? Because God wired me to be loved and accepted. Right? So that is not a sin to want to be loved and to be accepted. I was wired to be loved and to be accepted. And so it's not wrong to desire it. Hold that thought. We're going to work through this verse. I'm going to show you something special. But mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. So this desire that I have out of my natural mind can become a stronghold, though, and can become anxiety inside of me. The desire to be accepted. Or the fear of not being accepted, right? And so that can become a stronghold in me. And listen to this. And so what God says is this, that we're to casting down imaginations or speculations or mental arguments, right? And every high thing that exalts itself against what we know about God. Let me unpack that because that's a wonderful, wonderful passage in exactly how our mind works. So here's the thing. So let's say that you're afraid of public speaking. How many of you have ever been afraid of it that before you did it? How many of you? Okay, good. So, all right. So we're not alone here. So here's the problem. If you've never publicly spoke and you're afraid of publicly speaking, you're afraid of being rejected and all that kind of stuff. But here's what happens in your mind. Your mind begins to have imaginations that you're going to be rejected. Your mind begins to imagine that you're going to speculate that everybody's going to laugh at you, right? And remember in the one movie where he was talking about the coach on the other side of the movie? This is Waterboy. It's probably very spiritual. But anyways, you know where he said, imagine him being a golden retriever or something like that, you know what I mean? I don't know. But say, that's what our mind, what he was trying to do is trying to get him to trick his mind and imagine something else, right? It's like these dueling imaginations. But what happens is my mind begins to imagine all sorts of things. Let me just give you an example. One of the great fears that we have is being reconciled with somebody who's injured us. I'm afraid to go talk to them. And what do we imagine? That all manner of bad things are going to happen. They're not going to accept it. They're going to throw things back in my face. It's going to go sideways. Right? All that speculation and imagination. You have no clue. You haven't done it yet. It's been my experience, by the way, that it never goes as bad as you thought that it did. And even when it does, you're still at peace because you've done what you were supposed to do. Okay, so here's the thing. God says that your imaginations, your own mind, fearful mind, will create stories that will literally prevent you from doing what you're supposed to do. Those are called strongholds. So, anxiety, right? I'm afraid of snakes. So, what am I really afraid of when I'm afraid of snakes? Yeah, getting bit, right? I'm afraid of being poisoned, which is really afraid of dying. Exactly. Good. See, y'all are good at this. All right. So I'm afraid of snakes, right? So, what do I imagine? Well, I imagine that, you know, well, there's probably snake, you know, so what won't I do maybe if I can't go on that trail, you know, well, everybody else is going on this hike. Well, I can't go on a hike. Why? Well, I'm afraid of snakes. What does that have to do with going on a hike? Well, there might be a snake on the hike. That's the imagination. There also might not, by the way. And the deal is that, oh, well, yeah, I see. So if it were me, I'd be messing with your head along these lines. Oh, yeah, I see snakes on the trail all the time. And then surely I'm not going. Well, like, you know, because why, though? Because you just imagine that you're going to get bit. And then I would say something like, but I never get bit by them. I just see them, and, you know, and we talk to each other. Occasionally they go to me, you know, and just like, just build up the fear, man. And just no, but here, but what my point is that this. So I never go on the trail, right? I never go on the trail, and I'm going to get to this at the very end. Maybe I'll remember this. Y'all remind me about this particular example at the very last one, if I can keep it together. Okay, mentally. All right. So here's my point. And every high thing that exalts itself against what you know about God. Right? When I am afraid, I will what? Yeah. So God's sovereign over my hike on the trail. You know, do I really imagine that God's going to have me be bit on this walk? You know, and if it is God's pleasure to let the snake bite me on this walk, and do I really think that God won't care for me? You know, and including if there's nobody else on the walk, and I get bit, and I can't call 911, and I lay there and die. He's with me, and he doesn't forsake me. Remember when Stephen was being stoned to death? He saw heaven open, and the Lord Jesus standing right there waiting for him. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what your scenario is. When I am afraid, I will trust in thee. So what happens is we allow our imagination to exalt itself above what we know to be true about God. Thou will keep me in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Why? Because I trust in thee. I trust in thee. So I can go on the trail hike and trust in thee. Right? And I'm not foolish on the trail hike. I mean, if there's snakes on the trail hike, trail hike? Is that a right word? On the whatever, you know, okay, forget about all that. Next, pray about your desires. I talked about this last week, especially in this verse. Let's go ahead and read it. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Remember that anxiety word means it's something that pulls my heart away or out of sorts. And in our context, in the Christian context, it pulls me away from trusting God. And so how do I orient that? Well, I orient that by turning my heart to God. And what do I do? I pray about my desires. God, I really do want to live, you know? And I want to live because I feel like there's work down here on me to do, and I love my wife and want to hang out with her a couple more years, and, you know, whatever it is, it doesn't matter. Just ask the Lord. And then, you know, and of course, this has become my favorite prayer in the last little while. Lord, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. If it's possible, what am I resigning myself to in that? That's right, to God's will, if it's possible. If it's not, by the way, nevertheless, not thy will, but not my will, but thine be done. And what does that mean in Jesus' case? He goes to the cross and dies because the cup didn't pass from him, and it was not possible for it to pass from him, right? And it may not be possible for it to pass from you, right? So what can I do, though? I can trust the Lord with it, and I can pray. And what God says is that by the next one is this, surrender your desires. See, what prayer does is it helps me surrender my desires. Now, here's what I mean by that. What I mean by that is not don't have your desires, but your desire has become disordered. That's why you're anxious. Does that make sense? So what happens is, it's not like I don't have a desire to be accepted and loved, but Lord, this desire to be accepted and loved has actually exalted itself above what I know to be true about you, because I know to be true about you that you love me and you accept me. The cross proves that full well. And your mercy and grace to me proves that full well. So I know that I've been loved, and I know that I've been accepted by you, and what my heart is saying, that my acceptance by others has exalted itself above being accepted by you. And that's called what? Idolatry. Ooh, boy, we got some theologians in the group. Yeah, that's it, right? When my desires get disordered to where they have exalted themselves above God, then that's idolatry. And so fear is a liar. It's based on unbelief, as one of the singers said, but it's also idolatry, which means that my order's out of order. My desires are out of order, and they've exalted them above what I know to be true about God. I'm accepted. And what I have to be honest with God about is, Lord, I'm loved and accepted by you. And the truth is, that's not enough. And I repent of that. Because listen, go back to the very first one, the very first verse, Bubba, up there, Psalm 56. Let's read this again. Let's read this out loud. When I am afraid, I will trust in you. In God, I will praise his word. In God, I have put my trust. I will not fear. Or some translations say, what can man do to me? In other words, God, if you accept me, it doesn't matter if man doesn't accept me. What can man do to me? In other words, I'm not letting man's not accepting me knock me off the rails of you accepting me. And my heart betrays me when I'm so afraid of the acceptance of man that it paralyzes me from the last one, which where we're getting to. Okay, so in surrender your desires, go back down, Romans 12:1, this is what it is. So I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by God's mercies, to present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy, acceptable God, which is your spiritual worship. You see the worship word there? You see the worship. Okay, so here is what I'm getting at as it relates to fear here. So the surrendering of my desires is, Lord, I desire to be accepted and loved. You designed me to be accepted and loved. But my desire to be accepted and loved is being overwhelmed. It's like that your acceptance and love for me is not enough. And so, Lord, I trust in your acceptance and love to drive out the fear that man won't accept and love me. Does that make sense? And what I'm sacrificing right now as in worship to you, think about this, what I'm sacrificing in worship to you right now is the need to have this person accept me and love me. You follow? Okay, and so that's all. The sacrifice, if you will, constantly the Bible talks about that I have desires that have to be put off, that have to be put to death. Sacrifice is putting something to death, right? And what is that? That's a spiritual act of worship to do that, right? To put off the old man, that is put him to death, that is sacrifice, is a spiritual act of worship to God. Okay, so here's the next one. All right, skip those two and go down to number five. Number five is this. Love God and love others. Now, remember this verse. We talked about this verse. 1 John 4:18 to 21. There's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. So, and then he says, for whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love God because he first loved us. And this is a commandment we have from him. Whoever loves God must also love his brother. And so here's the thing. God said what hangs all on the law and the prophets is what? That we love God and love our neighbor, right? And in the Galatians passage, he says this sums up the whole law, that you love your neighbor. He even leaves out loving God. So what is going on here with this connection? Well, here's the connection back to my earlier story, which was about what? About what? Oh, the snake. Okay. So my fear of snakes, right? And so here's what happens. And so the deal is that Zeb had invited me to go on the hike. And you know why? Because he wanted to talk to me about something that was going on between him and you know, his significant other. And so, or he had something really happening in his life and he was upset. And he wanted me to go down, you know, on this quiet place where we weren't going to be disturbed to talk to him about it. So I can't love Zeb because of my fear. I want you to think about this. I want you to think about it seriously. And I want you to think about your own fears. Your own fears have kept you from loving people. Almost every time. I'm afraid to make it right with that guy. Guess what? You're withholding love from him because you're afraid. I'm afraid to face this situation. I'm afraid to do this. I'm afraid to do that. I'm afraid to go there, right? How many of you have had that? Even in your intermarital relationships, you need to have a talk that is an important, serious talk, and you're afraid to go there. And guess what happens? You're withholding love from your spouse from not going there. That's what's happening. Because fear keeps me from loving. And so sometimes the best resolution for fear is just to say, Lord, I've been loved by you, so I'm going to go love this person, and I am afraid, but I'm going to love. And what you'll see is that perfect love casts out the fear. When you actually broach the subject, you'll see, and come on, if it's a really tough marital conversation that you need to have, it is going to get a little squirmy, isn't it? I mean, who are y'all really that good at this stuff where it don't ever get a little, like, you know, I mean, it gets a little nuts sometimes when it's a big one especially. But I guarantee not saying it because you're afraid is worse. It metastasizes the problem, and because here's the thing, the fact that you need to talk about it means that it's come between you and your wife's intimacy, or you and your husband's intimacy. And the fact that you're afraid to go there is because it's a big deal. And maybe you haven't been so good at working stuff out. Maybe you point fingers at each other or whatever. That'll be my marriage series later on. But listen, here's what I want to tell you. Love your way out of fear. Now, let me say this. Love your way out of fear. Let me tell you, like, let me give you this example in COVID. So in COVID, I was afraid. I mean, when it was bad and really bad, I was afraid. But I wasn't afraid to go hang around with my kids because I was like, well, you know why? Because I love them and I don't care. You know, my rationale was, Lord, okay, if you want to take me out from hanging around my kids, well, that's the way it's going to be, you know, kind of deal. And we did everything that we, you know, we were cautious in all the different things because, you know, it's an infectious disease. But it was my love that helped me get over it, right? Because of my exposure to them was actually also helping assuage my fear. Does that make sense? So had I taken the walk with Zeb, guess what would have happened? I would have loved Zeb, but also I would have a little bit started to get over my fear of snakes. Does that make sense? And so you can't be afraid. Fear stops loving conversations. You got to go there. And so you can love your way out of fear. Now remember that your love comes from above, and remember that you'll have vain imaginations that will try to talk you out of it. You'll imagine all sorts of things that this is going to go bad. But remember, you take those thoughts and you place those thoughts in obedience to Christ, right? And if Christ wants you to love your spouse and work it out, then love your spouse and work it out. Does that make sense? Because sometimes we're literally disobedient in the thing that we know to do because we're afraid it might not go well if we did it. Somebody say amen. When it gets quiet like that, I know y'all are squirming. Okay, so here's the thing. But, right? Okay, so name the fear and be specific and get it down to the root fear. And by the way, it's good to work through the root fears, right? Work through the root fears between you and God. You can do it in an imaginary way. Lord, I'm afraid not to be loved and accepted. Oh, but I've been loved and accepted by you. So if I'm afraid of man not loving and accepting me, what I'm doing is I'm putting this in a different position. So when it happens in real life, you're already ready to go there. Does that make sense? Okay. Then reverse the fear. Find out what I desire. I desire to be accepted. I desire to be loved. Or I desire not to die. Or I desire to live. And then pray about your desires. Give it to God, right? Trust God with it. Don't let your vain imagination prevent you from taking it to God. And then surrender that desire. Just say, Lord, okay, fair enough. I have this desire. It's gotten out of hand, if you will. It's turned into, remember fear and desire, they're twin sisters. So they're always together. It's disorganized itself in my life, and it's prevented me from loving, which is the next one, love God and others. And so go out and love your way out of your fear. And that sounds a little heady, and I read a whole lot on this last one and didn't talk to about it too much, but I've kind of overstayed my welcome in this anxiety thing, so I'm going to move on. But I want you to think a lot about this last one that I talked about, which was fear prevents love and love overcomes fear. And it's obedient love, right? I mean, it's obedient love. In other words, in order out of my love for X, I need to do X even though I'm afraid to do it, right? And where do I get the power to do that from? From the one who loved me, right? And I can humble myself and do that even though I'm afraid. And how I do it sometimes, this way Jackie does it to me, she'll set it up. I know when she's afraid to talk about something. Honey, I need to talk to you about something. And I'm afraid you might get defensive. And I'm afraid that, you know, this or that might happen. And I'm afraid that, you know, I mean, you know how you are. I'm afraid you'll be that guy. And but, you know, so sometimes it's okay to just set it up that way. That's all right. You know, and then she'll drop something on me. And then I'm really waiting for the big one, you know. You know, I have three boyfriends and haven't told you, you know, or something. I'm kind of waiting for the big one. And she's like, would you please throw your socks in the laundry or something, you know. All right. So this is the deal. Don't let fear keep you from loving. That's key on that. And let me say this to you. Fear will keep you from loving. Your vain imagination will create stories that will paralyze your life. Because, like, let's say that you have the fear of leaving your room. Well, guess what you can't do? It's hard to mother well when you won't leave your room. It's hard to wife well when you won't leave your room. It's hard to be a part of the body of Christ when you won't leave your room, right? So you end up living a whole completely disobedient life because you've let a fear paralyze you. And sometimes you just may need help working through all that, so please do that too. All right, come up, guys. I'm sorry I've gone over. So this is a good little overview checklist, emergency checklist that you can memorize, and it'll help you. Lord, we love you. We're glad that when we're afraid, we can trust in you. We're glad that we can put our mind on you. We're glad that we can come boldly before the throne and find mercy in our time of need. We're glad that you're in charge of our world and that we can trust you with it, that you care for us so that we can cast our cares on you. We're glad about all that. And we're sad that we're weak and foolish, and sometimes our heart gets pulled away from you and we begin to have all these vain imaginations that paralyze our lives, keep us from loving one another and loving you. And we want you to help us with that. We know that you will. In Jesus' name, amen.